From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Today, I'm joined by NAPS Executive Vice President, Ivan Butts. Ivan last joined us a little bit more than a month ago. This will be NAPS Chat's last venture with Ivan as my guest in his capacity as NAPS Executive Vice President. More about that later. Ivan, Congress is now in its midsummer recess. However, the House will be returning to the Capitol for possible votes during the week of August 23rd to consider the Senate-passed budget resolution as well as a number of other priorities, possibly including an infrastructure bill. Inasmuch as the House Ways and Means Committee and the House Energy and Commerce Committee have yet to even consider H.R. 3076, the Postal Reform Act, it does not appear that the postal legislation is on a fast track. I want to turn the clock about 365 days. On an August Saturday in 2020, yes, a Saturday, the House passed legislation providing for emergency financial relief to the Postal Service and stole many of the Postmaster General's 2020 operational initiatives. Ivan, what a difference a year makes.
Bob, it's a tremendous difference in a year, you know, where we saw that active focus and active support being voiced out by legislators and followed through with legislative action to help in the sustainability of the Postal Service to right where we are right now. And again, it's, you know, we see that the focus is on infrastructure, and it was on, you know, initially the vaccine and rolling out the vaccine. So, you know, our country's initiatives obviously shape what our legislators are doing. And it does seem that the postal issues are being pushed to the back burner.
It would also seem that when Congress's future or the relevance was at stake last year, because you had elections, and last year the congressional and presidential elections, or their the turnout and the integrity of them, hinged on the Postal Service being able to deliver democracy. Now, that's going to happen next year when we have the midterm elections. Is it possible that we're going to have to wait till next year in an election year when Congress really has its skin in the game, literally, for a postal bill to be considered?
I hope not, Bob. But, you know, again, we know that when, as you said, when they have skin in the game, then their focus is a little different and a little more intense. But again, I would like to hope that our legislators are looking past the singular issues that they're looking at right now and look more broadly at, you know, America and the needs of America. And part of that is the needs for a sustainable postal service. Again, you know, if you want to talk about infrastructure, well, there's no greater impact to infrastructure than the Postal Service in keeping America binded through the mail system. So I would like to think that our legislators understand that after seeing and after all the grassroots work we have done over the years, making them understand and educating them on the need and the necessity and the impacts, and more importantly, the impacts to America when the Postal Service is not functioning as it should.
Yeah, on an operational basis, I know that a guest that we had a couple of weeks ago, Josh Shapiro, the Attorney General for the state of Pennsylvania, talked about the postal infrastructure and why he and his colleagues who are attorney generals, that means the highest legal officials in certain states, really sense the importance of the Postal Service, not only for delivering democracy, but also for providing services, state services, to citizens. Now, we're talking about maybe 2 weeks to be in session in September. We're going to have a week session in August. What should NAPS members be doing to elevate the visibility of the postal issue and elevate its priority to members of Congress?
Well, you know what, Bob? You know, our work that we've been doing on the grassroots level has been tremendous over the years, and we've been focusing on one thing. When they're home, engage them. Engage your legislators when they're in the home district. Go to the NAPS website and pull down the legislative information, the talking points. Make appointments to see them. Make appointments to speak with them. Make a Zoom appointment to meet them, and try to keep driving our initiatives that we lay out in our talking points home, and get their support, and hopefully we can, just to keep the ball moving, just to keep it moving.
Another guest who we recently had on NAPS Chat was the chairman of the House Subcommittee with Jurisdiction of the Postal Service, Jerry Connolly, and he's been rather outspoken relating to immediate action, the necessity for immediate action to deal with the Postal Service's operational maladies and governance deficiencies. He is amongst our most respected legislative champions, so I don't want to put you on the spot, but I will. Do you agree with the chairman?
Yes, I do. I agree with the chairman 100%. I believe, you know, what we see is as the infrastructure has been impacted, the operational infrastructure and now the support infrastructure to the agencies being impacted with this organizational change, what we see is the continual decline in service and the continual deterioration of the structure of America's Postal Service. And if you look at, you know, how America's reacting to it, I would have to think that they're voicing their concern over what's happening, or their displeasure of where the Postal Service is going.
I want to follow up on that, Ivan. A couple of weeks ago, we had Art Sackler, who is the executive director of the Coalition for the 21st Century Postal Service, as a guest. And he brought to light a survey that was conducted by the Bellwether Citizens Response Group, and it surveyed 2,200 Postal Service customers. And I want to come back to what you just said about what the public view, how the public views the Postal Service. In light of the reduced service and the problems experienced by the Postal Service, much of it, I think we would agree, is self-inflicted. 73% of the respondents in that survey, that means 73% of the 2,200 respondents that is reflective of America, are primed to consider alternatives to the Postal Service for transactional and business mail. That means they're willing to say, I'll consider a delivery service other than the Postal Service for the delivery of business and transactional mail. Should NAPS and the Postal Service be concerned about this potential exodus from the postal mail stream?
I think we all should be concerned and alarmed when we have a mailing community that's saying they'd rather look somewhere else than at the Postal Service, because the Postal Service is not delivering the service that they need. I think that should cause a pause and alarm to everyone, every craft employee, every management employee, every leader in this agency. And one thing I kind of disagree with question is, you say that, you know, some of these things are self-inflicted, and I'm not sure if I think the verdict would be out whether it's self-inflicted or leadership driven. And I don't mean that with any kind of disparity towards anyone, but, you know, all managers and supervisors and at our level, what we do is try to execute the initiatives that come down, good, bad, or indifferent. I think there's some ownership to these initiatives needs to be also established, who the people who are creating them and pushing them down. And if they're failing to do what America needs them to do, then you know, we should look at it as such, a failed initiative, and then react accordingly to that.
Yeah, this week, I believe on Thursday on MSNBC, Amber McReynolds, one of the new members of the Board of Governors, was questioned about these very issues. She tiptoed around them because she said she's new to the board and so forth. But I think the three new members of the Board of Governors, as you have expressed, are really concerned about initiatives that were taken by the leadership that preceded them. And I'm not talking about just removing the collection boxes, which might be ongoing, but major changes that occurred last year and how they affected postal performance.
Yeah, I think that, and it's good that they do, because those are the things that are showing themselves now in our service and in our polling on America's favorability of the Postal Service. So those are the things showing now. Those are a result of those actions back then, last year. And also are why we are where we are now, as far as, you know, trying to maintain America's Postal Service and provide some service to the American people.
And the restoration of trust in the United States Postal Service is absolutely essential, because one number that really shocked me in this Bellwether Citizens Response Survey was that only 56% viewed the Postal Service as trustworthy. Let me repeat that. Only 56% of Americans viewed the Postal Service as trustworthy, and 56% considered the Postal Service reliable. That's a far cry from previous data where the numbers were up in the 80s.
Yeah.
How could we win back America's confidence?
Well, I think, you know, we need to invest in ourselves. You know, we need a postal leadership that's buying in to America's Postal Service and is working to do that. I think some of these decisions that we have, when you're talking about cutting service and changing service standards, that's not to the betterment of America's Postal Service. When we're taking mail off of planes and putting it on trucks and saying we're going to be competitive with the UPSs and the FedExes of the world, which transport their packages and items on planes, well, that's not being effective or efficient in competing to be America's mail carrier. So again, you know, it's a shame. I think it really is kind of hurts to see that we went from one of the most trusted federal agencies consistently year after year to now, you know, not being trustworthy at all in America's eyes, and that is sad. I think I took pride, personal pride, in saying that, you know, we were one of America's most trusted federal agencies. That was a sense of pride for me, but now no more. So, you know, if we want to be America's Postal Service, once again, we have to be committed to serving America.
One of the most consequential decisions that President Biden will make over the next few months dovetails very nicely with restoring trust and faith in our postal infrastructure, is that he will have the opportunity, or he will make the decision, whether or not he renominates Ron Blum as a member of the Board of Governors. Mm-hmm. Ron Blum currently is in his what's called a holdover year, which means that his term actually expired last year on December 8th. That would have been 2020. Mm-hmm. If nobody is nominated, Ron Blum is gone, period, on December 8th. Moreover, John Barger, another member of the Board of Governors, term expires on December 8th also. Now, he has a holdover year, but there are two positions that the president is able to nominate to the Senate and the Senate to confirm. Now, I'm not going to ask you to take a position on Chairman Blum or Governor Barger, but if the president was in front of you right now and the president went to say, Ivan, how would you counsel me about the skill set needed to serve as a member of the Board of Governors? What would you tell President Biden?
I think one of the first things, or the the number one skill that they have to have is that they have to have a pure desire for sustaining the Postal Service. Then they need to have a desire to see that Americans, whether you're urban, suburban, or rural, aren't disenfranchised in the process of receiving mail. And that will also comes with that is kind of a willingness to really analytically look at these initiatives that are being put before them by postal leadership and calling them to task. If it doesn't look right, if it doesn't lay out right, then you know, it's their job as Board of Governors to put a stop to it and say, no, you can't go on this initiative. This initiative is not for the betterment of America's Postal Service. This may be the betterment of what you feel is your bottom line, but it's not the betterment of the Postal Service. And let's look realistically at it. Even if these changes have been about a bottom line, what has it achieved?
The emphasis that former President Trump placed on selecting his nominees to the Board of Governors, with but a few exceptions, is that they come out of the financial services industry. Barger, Bloom, and Ramon Martinez, have basically financial services people. Maybe we should look at different types of skills and experiences for having a vision about a communications network than to focus on the financial, you know, financial stocks and those types of issues.
Mm-hmm. But Bob, just to that point, right, it's something I've said for years, right? And when we talk about the privatization hounds that have been on our heels for all these years, the Postal Service is an $84 billion a year company. $84 billion. That's money that's any corporation would try like to shake some of that money out their way. So we understand that, or at least I understand that. So, but you're right. So when you put these financial minded folks in there, that's what they look at. They look at the potential of $86 billion coming in a door or going out a door, and not so much focused on the service that the America's Postal Service was constitutionally enacted to provide to Americans.
Let's talk about the operations for a moment. A number of weeks ago, we had another former chairman of the subcommittee, the House Postal Subcommittee with jurisdiction of the Postal Service, and that was Stephen Lynch. And we spoke a bit about the deterioration of the postal infrastructure, most notably the delivery fleet, which is like decades older than its lifetime. He offered an amendment to a bill was H.R. 3077, the Postal Improvement Act, and his amendment would authorize $8 billion to procure a fleet of mostly electronic mail delivery vehicles. And just this week, Atlas Public Policy, a public interest Washington-based consulting group, projected that postal vehicle electrification could save the Postal Service about $4.3 billion over the lifetime of the postal vehicle fleet. How do you think such a new vehicle fleet could be integrated into the operation of the Postal Service?
I mean, I think the integration part will be challenging, really going from fossil fuel to electric vehicles. But it's a long process that can happen over time. And again, there are those financial benefits that you just mentioned that could come with the electric fleet. Also, there's some. I'm sure there's some challenges with the maintenance, because I understand the wear and tear on an electric vehicle is less. So that's going to come with some other cost benefits and staffing that we deal with. But we've been dealing with staffing cuts, you know, for numbers of years now in the EAS ranks for years. So that would be nothing new for us.
There might be less moving parts to an electric vehicle than there is to, so that could be helpful. Mm-hmm. The 2021 NAPS convention is quickly approaching, and we're expecting over 1,100 individuals to attend the event. What do you expect will be on top of the delegates' minds as they convene in Grapevine, Texas?
I don't know, but I'm sure there's a lot of issues that we have always on the minds of our members. I mean, obviously, pay is always going to be a top issue for us and really needs to be. You know, we've been challenged with our pay for since 2009 in fighting. I mean, last year's MPA was actually the first really positive MPA payout that we've seen pretty much since 2009. That was good, but this year looks like it might be pretty good also. So that's good. It's showing some positive signs, but again, we're coming from a place where we have continually fallen behind employees, not just the world, but the employees who the agreement with the Postal Service says that, you know, we should be equal to or better than employees. We've seen that we consistently been falling behind employees. So pay is always going to be an issue on our members' mind. And obviously we have elections, which, you know, I think are key to our future for sure. And bring us to a point, you know, with President Wagner retiring, we're bringing us to a point of a new leadership taking over the helm of our association and moving us forward to a new day.
This will be the last NAPS chat that you join me as executive vice president. The NAPS position with the legislative and political portfolio. I'd like you to reflect on the past 6 years of your tenure as NAPS executive vice president.
Well, the last 6 or 7 years of being your NAPS executive vice president has been a true humbling and educating and gratifying road for me. I came into here in 2014, not fully knowing, you know, outside of being a SPAC ultimate, you know, donor for a number of consecutive years, you know, not really, and coming to LTS and going up the hill and talking about our talking points, but, you know, to turn around and get into it and develop those talking points and sit down with legislators and talk about developing bills to support the infrastructure of the Postal Service and to support us as supervisors has truly been a learning experience, and it's really been gratifying to kind of embrace it and work with it and grow as a leader in a new direction. You know, if we come up, I came up doing advocacy, and we did advocacy, and I thought I was a fairly good advocate, but this was a different direction, doing legislative advocacy than doing advocacy on that discipline level. So it was rewarding and refreshing, and really got to meet some tremendous leaders who are helping to shape our country and shape the direction of America. So that's been a tremendous learning experience for me, and I hopefully I can take what I seen and what I gathered from being able to engage those leaders and transition that, as well as the things I've learned about leadership over the years into a new role and help us move into a new direction. I just want to thank. I do want to thank a few people, and I don't want to be long-winded, but really, Elliot Freeman was our political person when I got here, and he was really tremendous in helping getting me acclimated to this set. Bruce Moyer, who is just everything, really, to our association legislatively. It was always a help, and helped me in engaging and sitting down with people. Now our current board of governors, Ron Strowman, but he was our deputy postmaster general. I appreciate him because I always comment that he made time for me when I first got up here to sit down and talk about this political environment and the work that we do up here legislatively. And Katie Maddox, who came in after Elliot left and worked with me, I think we both grew a little bit together in our legislative roles, and that was fun. Not only educating, but it was fun. I enjoyed Katie, and then you, Bob, for you coming in with all your years of experience and kind of solidifying my knowledge base, and then really taking it to a next level, right? Where we sit down with representatives and create bills, and sit down and create the talking points that we need to really kind of move things forward, and which was the result of we see in 1624, which is now part of 3077, H.R. 3077. So it's been a blessing the whole while, and I like to thank, you know, those folks for being there with me on the journey.
And I am absolutely certain that every NAPS member is appreciative of your efforts for being one of the strongest advocates on not only behalf of the Postal Service, but of members of the EAS employment pool. So thank you, Ivan.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. And thank you guys for all your support over the years. I think that you want to look at your ultimate goal is to try to leave a position better than it was when you came in. I heard Jordan Small was the leader who I first heard say that was his goal. To leave the post office a little better than it was when he got there, or leave a position a little better than it was when he got there. And hopefully I left the Office of Vice President, our SPEC, and our legislative portfolio a little better than it was when I got here.
Thank you, Ivan. And I want to thank our NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and healthy.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make me